frustrated.
Gray Toyota lights are on.
Gray Toyota, anybody here? Anna, you don't have a gray Toyota.
No, not in the class, thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Amen. So you want to open us in prayer?
Russ wants me to do this very spiritual thing and open us up in prayer. But we might be praying all night.
Uh-oh, that could be dangerous.
So Father, we just invite your presence today.
Amen.
We just thank you for the portal that you're opening up right now, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And Lord, we just thank you that when you open up those portals of heaven, we can say, we can pull on heaven and bring the things of heaven down. And,
amen.
And we just thank you for whatever we need. We know that, Father, you have it. And that's why you... I really see this thing.
Jesus.
It's in the center of the room. Mm. And the Lord is saying, whatever you need, there it is.
There it is. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So we just say thank you. We thank
Hallelujah.
You. We thank you. We thank you for that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody needs to hear this, but the past is so gone.
Yes.
You know, the past is so gone. And wherever we felt in our heart of hearts that we lacked, we no longer lack. We no longer have that mindset. So we thank you for that, Father. And so, you know, help me with what I'm going to say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So my name is Anna. I feel like I started a little backwards there, but I have a few things there. They're about prophetic evangelism, CDs, and dream interpretation, and the seer class, and that's what I teach at KTI, and we know Russ is the founder of KTI.
Shut up.
Yeah, KTI. So after you kind of hear what prophetic evangelism is, then maybe you could, you know, look at that. I also have this book that my friend and I, Gary Fishman, we teach a dream interpretation class, and he wrote the book. And it's a really awesome book because if you're a seer, which I'll explain what that is in a few minutes, they've got symbols in it. So sometimes you're like, I saw the portal of God opening up, you know, the heavens opening up right there. And so, you know, we have things symbolically that we need to interpret. And so this book is awesome for that. I read a lot of books about symbols, numbers, and colors, but that was one of them. Even like I was thinking about the birdcage, like if I looked in here, what would that mean, you know? But it was really in context to what God was saying to you. So that's how we have to take things. So this will be over there. Tools I bring with me. And sometimes people say they can't make it to the class, so I just ask them if they would like to purchase that.
Are there plans for like the next the summer session or something?
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up. What we're doing, I don't think I'm going to be teaching the seer or dreams like specifically because I was teaching since I think February. And
now she's tired.
Don't listen to him. We've known each other forever, so it's just like he can say, I'm going to have to bring you to SOSA, and you be the one that we
She's
do the
tired
SOSA.
And she can't teach anymore, so she's going to take a break, okay?
No, but what we're doing is on the 26th, we're having a like prophetic training, and it's with the prophetic room people, you know, the prophecy room people, so that way we kind of gear up toward prophetic evangelism. You don't really have to do the prophetic evangelism, but it's just practicing hearing from God and interpreting it and then applying it and going forward. So on the 26th, we'll be here. My last dream class tomorrow night will be here, so that way I can teach a little bit again. But whenever we share hands-on stuff, we teach a little bit too, so that way nobody's real lost. And so I hope that answered the question.
What's happening on the 26th? Is that
it? Yeah, prophetic, like a prophetic hands-on training. Sort of like this, except we try to incorporate the seer gift because that's kind of where my emphasis is seeing, the seeing gift. So I just want to get a little background. Does this go lower?
Push down.
Push down?
Push down on it. Nope, guess not.
So anyway, so I just want to tell you a little bit of background. I started with Streams Ministry. Has anybody ever heard of Streams Ministry? It's a ministry where John Paul Jackson, the prophet, he doesn't call himself a prophet, but the guy's a prophet. I mean, come on. What else could he be? Like a plumber or something like that? A regular guy, you know? Well, maybe he is. I don't know.
It's true.
But I started with the Streams courses probably, I don't know, it seemed like 10 years ago. Time's just so flying by. And the classes were at Christian Life Center, which is in West Milford, and I lived in Elizabeth. It was, I was so wanting to be prophetic. I just knew that I was prophetic. There was this thing I sensed about people, you know, it was real wild. And so I said, well, I'll take one course. Then I ended up doing a teacher training in New Hampshire. It took all my money and you know, it was really expensive. I said, but Lord, I really want to do this, you know? It took me forever to get there. It took like five buses. No, actually two trains and one bus to get to New Hampshire and take the course. And so in the meantime, Russ was at our church. You know, we were like in the same church together. Yeah. And
it was all my fault.
Yes, and it was, you know. And so like at that point, he started this thing. Did I ever tell you this story? Well,
How could you? You haven't been here yet.
No, I felt like I was here before. But he was like teaching about four people. This is how this thing began. And now Russ has taught. How many people do you think you've taught over like the many years that you've did this here?
I don't know.
A lot. Well, anyway.
Probably over 500 by now, but who cares?
Wow. So, well, he's not counting. But it's just to say, like, you know, I felt like the word was this for today. Don't despise small beginnings. And so his wife was there.
This is my first time doing his training classes, the very first class.
Very first class. Yeah. We met in somebody's house, and we had to be in her house because the baby would always cry if we brought it in. So Deb, his wife, would, and we were all kind of like, why are we doing this? I know we're doing this for a reason, but why are we really doing this? This is crazy. And one night I went home and said, Lord, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with the church thing. I'm just done. You know what I mean? I was really despondent that night. Wow. So I said to myself, I said, okay, Lord. And I don't put fleeces out. I'm just really not a fleece type of person, you know? So my friend Carrie, I met her in Alaska. I went on a trip to Alaska by myself. I said, I'm going to meet people there. And she was a believer. I said, Lord, listen, I know Carrie never calls me on the phone. She always emails me. She has never called me. Lord, you know, if this thing is right, if I'm supposed to do this prophetic thing, have Carrie call me. So I'm in my bed. I have this futon. There's a reason why I'm telling you about the futon. I'll get to that. Okay, so I'm laying there. The phone rings. I look at caller ID. I go, I don't recognize that number. It's like from out of state. So I picked it up. It was my friend Carrie. I go, oh, God, you're so good, you know? I mean, I thought I was way off track, not because of Russ, of course.
No, absolutely not.
But anyway, I have to move on but with that. But, you know, I just felt like, God, you know, you really had a plan for me. I wasn't just doing this crazy thing that nobody, the church really didn't get the drift of it. So, you know, anyway, having said that.
It's tough being on the cutting edge sometimes.
Well, we're just, you know, we want to...
When you're a forerunner, you get shot at. You're out there.
So, Russ... And in the meantime, what happened was that a couple things happened. I had what was called a... I went to Streams that night, and like I said, it was really way out in the boonies. West Milford is way out in the boonies, especially if you're from Elizabeth. There's lights all over, and then all of a sudden there's no lights. So the first thing I said to them, does anybody pay their electric bill around here? This place is really too dark. It's just too dark. And so like they're like, yeah, I don't know where you're from, girl, but so I had this dream, and it was a calling dream. And the reason why I know it was a calling dream is because Russ was in the dream. And I never dream about Russ.
Thank God.
That's right. And so Russ was in the dream, and it was one of those caricatures. How do you say
caricatures?
That? Right. You know how you draw on the
so
person
my head
has a
was,
big
my
nose?
My head was big?
No, your head wasn't big, but we were all like really animated and silly.
Cartoonish.
Exactly. And so we were kind of on a stage like the one in the sanctuary. And he was in front of me, and we both have jetpacks on. And you know, like in those animated things, like they're dancing up and down like little puppeteers, sort of like that. And Russ had a jetpack on him, and he was launched like that. And then I followed in a dream. And this was right after a streams meeting, like after, you know, because I wanted to be prophetic. And so so the dream, if you know much about dream interpretation, or you don't have to, I said, Lord, what's the interpretation? And he says, I'm going to launch you. And the fact that Russ was in front of me in the launching with the launching gear meant I would just follow along. And the fact that he was jumping off a stage into where people are is that we're no longer doing this thing that one person speaks and you know, ex-pontificating. Oh, that sounded obscene. Wow. Wasn't that terrible?
That was horrible. Yes, don't ever say that again.
No, but actually, it reminds me of, yeah, that's the way it always has been. One person talks and everybody listens. No, we got to get with people and try to train them. And that was the thing. Some people are just, you know, they speak to others, but others want to train so that the people can continue the ministry and do it. And I had no clue what that really meant. I thought, that's great, we're going to launch the prophetic. I never dreamed that it would be this fun and we would train all these people to do prophetic evangelism. Which brings me to, I will stay on the notes tonight. Defining prophetic evangelism, it's on the first page. And so, you know, when you look at defining prophetic evangelism, you might have question marks come up in your head. And you could probably, after hearing what I'm saying, could define it yourself. But the definition for prophetic evangelism is hearing from God on behalf of the lost and sharing what God is saying so that people are get closer to the Lord. And so, like, if you think about the definition, the first part of it, prophetic evangelism is hearing from God on behalf of the lost. Well, you know, in this class, I know that Russ either has or will go over the components of the prophetic, but usually when people teach, they say the components of the prophetic are the revelation, interpretation, application, and declaration. It's kind of just standard teaching.
Well, I leave that up to you. This is your section.
He's funny.
No, I'm serious.
Well, you probably...
This is just one way to define the prophetic that people find helpful. So it's four components, which are...
Revelation, interpretation, application, and declaration. So what it really means is that we're using the prophetic and to share with people who don't know Christ. This is really, if you think about it, I mean, it's not me being a phenomenon, but it's really a phenomenon. You think about it, like, that God really uses our gifts to share with the lost. Now, what we're talking about when we talk about the aspect of revelation, we're talking about what you've already learned. You've learned that you could have a song, a scripture, a reference, audible voice of the Lord, songs that are like secular songs, and they really minister to you. Some love songs really are like right, you know, I mean, the Lord, well, I don't want to tell you all about the Lord right now, but anyway, I had some dreams that the Father will whisper to me while I'm like in the frozen food section of ShopRite and go, you're jacked up, Lord. I just, you know, I'm like, I love him. All right. And so, you know, you have that aspect, the revelation part. But then, you know, you have to figure out what to do with it. But one part about the prophetic is that if you're a seer, it comes, you have a seer anointing as opposed to hearing, being a divine hearer and speaker. What you do is see a lot of things. And I was never a real seer unless I was a seer and I didn't know it. But dreams are part of the prophetic seer anointing, dreams and visions. And those are the classes that I teach. You basically see things, you know. And or you could have a pun. But anyway, it's all used with prophetic evangelism for the lost. Now, you have the huge, huge glare, like a thing going on with you that you love the lost. I know everybody does, but some people have like an evangelistic heart toward that, and so you do, especially the down and outers, you know, the jail folks, but not limited to. And that's what I didn't really like about when people said, "Oh, well, like when you do street witnessing." Well, you know what? Witnessing is something that I feel like God says for us to do, go be a witness. But really, evangelism is to anybody, is to not just people that are down and out. You know, when you have a lot of money and, you know, you're rich, you could be way down and out, you know? So we're not talking about only people who have problems. And so this, what I'm talking about here is that God has always used prophetic stuff to reach the lost. And he does that. It says in Genesis chapter 41:1, Joseph is ready to interpret the dream. It's Pharaoh. Pharaoh is obviously lost in when he speaks to him. And he talks about the famine, the cows, the cow dream. I call it the cow dream. And I think there's also... Well, there's a famine for 7 years. It's the cow, and then it was bread or something. What was it?
The wheat.
Thank you, wheat. And so the thing about Joseph in the dream is that he's ready. I mean, he goes from prison to like the Pharaoh's, to being what, number one in the Pharaoh's court. I mean, the guy was just, you know, crushed. But then all of it, he didn't lose his heart and dream or promise. And God brought him back up, and he was ready to interpret the dream. And the same thing with Daniel chapter 2. He was ready to interpret the dream too. I mean, I don't know if he did it because he didn't want to lose his life, but he was absolutely ready. And he didn't interpret the dream. He told the king the dream. Wow. And that's pretty good. My friend Marcia Dunn does that.
Yeah.
And so, these are all were unsaved people. That's the one thing about the both dreams that have in common, is that the unsaved Pharaoh was an authority figure, the king was an authority figure in the dream, and they both asked for the diviners or the magicians, and that's what happens even now. They ask, you know, people say, when I say to them some, you know, read their mail, so to speak, prophetically, do they say, are you a psychic? Because I think it's because the church has not really gotten out and realized that evangelism is a lifestyle of a supernatural and supernatural power of God, you know? And a couple of things. We're just not really ready to shift some time from being that evangelist who stands there and speaks and says blah, 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 kind of like Billy Graham. Sometimes they're just waiting for Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful to come along. But that's not what God is doing. We're going to share a little later about how God shifted. But then, that you know, those two examples, Genesis chapter 41:1 and Daniel chapter 2, they're Old Testament. But the New Testament, John chapter 4, we see that Jesus had a word of knowledge. So we're still talking about revelation. Like, you could get a word of knowledge about somebody or a prophecy. And so, you know, in John chapter 4, he says, go call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you had five, and this one isn't it either. So she's like, oh, man, what are you, a prophet or something? You know, that kind of thing, she says. And so we see that Jesus was a prophetic evangelist, and so was Joseph, and so was Daniel. And so Jesus, in John chapter 147, He uses what's called discernment of spirits, which is part of the seer gift. Discernment of spirits is you discern the soul of a man. You can discern if it's from God, or you discern if it's a demonic spirit, you know? So he discerns that Nathanael, he says, you're a man of no guile. He discerns that his motives and spirit is good. And so he gets, the thing about all four examples is that God gets the attention of the lost through the prophetic. And so, you know, I'm sure that in your life you have had that happen to you in some ways. So, you know, I guess what I want to share now is a little bit about some of these methods, I guess we have to call them cognitively, you know, when you speak, you have to speak to people's, to speak to people, but there's, and explain what you mean, but there's a method called the treasure hunt. And the treasure hunt is when Lord led it on this man's heart from Bethel Church, Kevin Dedman. And this is one of the things within the last 5 years that is just a tool for prophetic evangelism. It's called a treasure hunt. And what he says in here is that everybody is God's treasure. And really, we as believers are the ones that are at a treasure hunt, you know? And so what he did was made a treasure map. You see this part? And so the parts of the treasure hunt map go, it says location. Everybody have the paper? Location, the person's name, a person's appearance, what they might need prayer for, or the unusual. And so in terms of location, you know, it's if you don't find a location, like you're sitting around and you're praying with other people. You get together, you sit around, you're praying with other people. Some ministries put on music and worship, and we kind of do that when we're at KT IHOP. But sometimes we have no music, so we just pray in tongues, and God gives us words of knowledge. Okay, everybody knows what a word of knowledge is. It's a fact about a person that you would not have already known unless God revealed it. That's what Jesus did to Nathanael. He revealed that to him. And he's revealing the location that you should go to. If he doesn't, you know, we always end up at a food place anyway because we're always hungry, so it wouldn't matter. We feel like that's God's will. So a person's name, appearance, their appearance, say a blue hat or something like that, and or something unusual or an ailment. Well, I have millions of stories, and I know that.
Could I ask, so this sure. is something you do together before you go, right?
You
get a group of people together. We're going to go on a treasure hunt.
Okay.
So you come together, you pray, say, Lord, we want to get words of knowledge from you as to where to go, who to look for, what's the issues that they're dealing with.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it's an awesome technique. Because when you approach the person and say, you know, God just showed us that you would be here at this place, you can show them the paper. Say, look, see, God told us to come here to Starbucks to look for a guy with a blue hat, see?
Wow.
And that he told us that you have a sprained ankle, you know, or whatever, God, you know what I'm saying? And the guy goes, you know, so you pray for the guy, he gets healed, and you have an opportunity to expose him to the presence of God. You know, it's just powerful, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't mean to steal your thunder on that, but
couldn't
resist.
No problem. Well, you know, I'll give you an example of a place. We were all sitting around in IHOP, and have done this for about 5 years doing this specifically. We've tried dream interpretation a lot of times, and we can do that, but you have to have people who know how to interpret a dream correctly. So this is really an easy method, and people are not intimidated to go out as much as, like, I'd love to just go up to somebody and share with them just kind of point blank, but that scares people too. And so the location, one time we were sorry, is that God? we sat around I kept seeing pink bows, like, you know, those pink bows that you have for cancer awareness,
mm-hmm.
and all. And then my one friend just said, well, I think we should go to Westfield. I'm like, all right, we're in IHOP, you know, let's go to Westfield. And we also had on our sheet something, you know, like a little girl had a pink, you know, those ballet tutus, little outfits. We said, okay, let's go. And somebody had park, and somebody had, like, the store area. So when we were, all these are actually clues. They're clues so that you can get to the specific person. And so we went there, and do you know all the way, all along the road, while we're going into the town of Westfield, it had pink bows. I had no idea. It was Breast Cancer Awareness Day. You believe it? So I'm like, I mean, I would have never known that. I don't notice anything. I when I drive, I just think about what I got to do, and that's, you know. And so it was in Westfield. So, you know, we got off. I went with four people and to the park, and the other four went to the stores. And I got off, got out, and I went to the park area. And lo and behold, the first person we prayed for had cancer. And so, you know, we don't, you know, you need an x-ray to see if somebody is healed of cancer, okay? But her name was Mara. Mara, which means bitterness, or something along the lines of bitterness.
In Hebrew it does, yeah.
And so we asked her, you know, do you have bitterness against somebody? She thought and thought. She's a real sweet lady, you know. She said, yeah, I do. I do have bitterness. And, you know, when you're doing healing with people, healing, it sometimes has to do with their you know, bitterness. It gets into their life. It might have been the very thing that opened door to cancer. So we take her through this, like, mini deliverance in the park. You know, confession, repentance, and stuff like that. I mean, this thing is such a tool. I knew that lady was a divine appointment. Every time I've prayed, I've had people that were specifically a divine appointment, and I know that God sent me to them. I have stories galore. I mean, this is really one tool, you know, of doing that. And we had a person's name. Now, this is the first time I ever tried it out. I went to Bergen County. These people, they said, you know, you want to come do treasure hunt? I'm like, yeah, why not? It sounds like fun, you know? And so we were sitting around, and we got
that
this.
Was my turn.
That was Holy Spirit. The other one was Jesus. So I'm in there, like, going, okay, let's do this. And we got a name, Stephanie. Ah, Stephanie, what the heck? I didn't know. And then we go to Dunkin' Donuts. And the first Dunkin' Donuts, we had a dream, interpreted the dream for a lady. And we led her to the Lord. But I said, you know what? I still think that there's this Stephanie around somewhere. So we go to the other side of Route 17, and it was four men and one lady in Dunkin' Donuts. I said, is Stephanie there? She says, yes, I'm here. I said, this is jacked up. I got to do this thing. This is good stuff. You know? And how would you find Stephanie? You know how big Bergen County is? You know how many Dunkin' Donuts there are on Route 17 in Bergen County? To find Stephanie would be, it's just like a needle in a haystack. And so we said to her, you know, that we didn't know really what to say. We're like, wow, we found Stephanie, you know. Now what do we do? And so on our list we had ailments and we had knee problems. So we said, well, do you have a knee problem? She says, no, but I'm getting a divorce, and my husband's in the car, and, you know, we really need prayer. And she was a Christian.
Wow.
You know. So, you know, we prayed for her and stuff like that. So that was the person's name. So I brought people to the mall one day, and I said, well, let's try to get real specific, people's names. So we had three names on our list, and I don't remember specifically, it was like Jack, Bob, and Joe. So my friend, she said, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to go right up to somebody and say, are you Jack, Bob, or Joey? So she does, and goes, oh, I'm Jack. The mall, you know how big the mall is? So then it's just like everything else. We go, well, now we found Jack. What do we do? And we asked Jack if he needed prayer, and he was an older man. He said he didn't. But just to say, I mean, I think God's just trying to train us sometimes to do things.
So it's okay then. So if God gives you the name of a person and you go up to him and, you know, he acknowledges that is who he is, and you ask him if he wants prayer and he says no, then it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
The only other thing that I would add to that would be, you know, if that happens and the guy says he doesn't need prayer, I feel like the Lord would still have a prophetic word for someone that.
Yeah.
You know, and that you could stretch out into that and just say, well, you know, God sent us here because he has a message for you. If he doesn't have anything that, you know, that you could pray for him about, you can always just launch out and just release whatever the Lord gives you, you know.
You know, sometimes you go to a... Sometimes you go to a store or something, and there are people that are, you know, religious people, are they giving out the little articles and stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes they look and people walk by, they like, get away, you know, they're like, leave me alone.
Right.
I don't want to have nothing to do with this. And I, but, you know, sometimes if you come to somebody and say, hey, you want to pray or something, they look at you and say, well, you know, bango, what, get away from me or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you, some kind of pack, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What were the five fingers that you said that there should be a reminder, something about?
Father, right?
Uh-huh.
Future. Finance. No, I'm sorry. Family. Family's next, my bad. Ring is the finance. And the pinky is is physical. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, we've done that where somebody didn't want prayer for something. So I said, well, can we give you an encouraging word? And basically we, you know what I mean by read their mail? That's just a kind of a, you know, shared with them about Holy Spirit. And that's when people turn around and say, are you a psychic? And I just say personally, no, I'm not. It's really, really the Holy Spirit. I only had one man argue with me to say that it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He's like, I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit. I said, well, you know, pal, I don't know what to tell you. it's the Holy Spirit.
So when you say read your mail, it's from the word of knowledge that God gives you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just like that. Or a prophecy.
Or a prophecy, right, right,
yeah.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, we've just really just blatantly prophesied to people. There was a time where this wasn't...
Whether you want it or not, here it comes.
Yeah. I mean, this is your day, so... yeah. No, I mean, I'll give an example of prophecy. This is before I knew about Treasure Hunt. And I was on a bus going to New Jersey, and you have to go from New Hampshire to Boston, I was in the Boston train station, and there was this man that I would not have normally gone up to. He did look like an ex-con. I mean, he really did. He had tattoos all over him, real, real buffed, I mean, real rough-looking guy, and I felt like the Lord said, go up to this man and just, you know, just tell him your past is not going to follow you. So I walked up to him and said, hi, I'm Anna. I have something to tell you. And I said, your past is not going to follow you. The guy was like, who are you? I said, my name is Anna. I'm from Elizabeth, you know? he said, well, how did you know that? I go, I just know Holy Spirit told me that. So like he goes, well, you know, this pastor I met in jail. I go, okay, I think we got the right guy. This pastor and his wife led me into the Lord in jail. And yeah, and he's like, I'm going to rehab now, you know?
That's good.
So there's a lot of people out there we really need to meet. There's one thing about the, when we talk about power evangelism, this part, this really leads us into when it says ailment, it really leads us to be power evangelists. What I mean by that is that you have the gift of healing too, or you know, you might not think you have the gift of healing, but if you have something that God reveals, like Russ always says, he heals. So we were in the mall at Jersey Gardens Mall, and it was Christmas time. There were busloads of people, and if you know me, I'm not a real like mall type of person. Like, I don't like to go where there's tons of people. And so we had on our list a woman who was a bit bent over. She had reddish hair, and you know, she was older. So that, you know, that could be, you know how many people are in the Jersey Garden Mall at Christmas time? Honestly, there was busloads of people. So my friend said, I know that's the lady. I go, okay. You know, it was Phyllis. Actually, Phyllis was over there. And this is why, you know, when you're on a dream team or in a team, two by two or three people, that's what the prophetic is. You prophesy in part, whether you're in the mall or you're here. And then you see in part, you know. So she said, that's the person. I said, okay, I'm coming with you. That's what we're going to do. So we went up to this lady and we said, do you have something that's, you know, you have an ailment, some type of physical ailment? And she says, no, I'm fine. I said, well, you know, we really thought she was the one. So we're like, are you sure? She says, well, you know, I can't hold these bags anymore. My shoulder is really painful. I said, well, can we pray for you? She says, well, is it going to cost me something? I go, no, it's absolutely free, you know? So we started praying, Shida Bada Bakura Baba. We didn't care who, we don't care, we just don't care. And so this lady, she's going, I said, do your shoulder feel better? She goes like this, and I said, well, she feels a little better. I said, well, let's pray a little more. And all of a sudden, she goes, oh, my God, there's heat on me. There's heat all over. I'm like, yeah, yeah. She, then I didn't know she was a Christian. Then she started running around the store. She's going, praise the Lord. She's going like this, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And people are like, whoa, that's a, like a wild place in here today.
Now, are you laying hands on the people that you're praying for? Or?
Well, we usually ask, can we lay hands on you?
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're not like at church. You know, church is like everybody's like all of you kissing.
So then, yeah.
We're
so
not
then
like that.
It's not, okay. So I've heard through the years that you're not supposed to lay hands on everyone because whatever attachment, whatever they have on them can kind of hop off on you. Like, you don't laugh.
No,
you
no,
heard the same
no, I'm
thing.
Not.
We would have got when I heard it, so don't laugh.
Wow.
So
she gave him a shot. Like, I give you a shot.
So, you know, I mean, so there's always been, do you lay hands on everyone?
Well, you know what?
Suddenly on no man. So what does that
but,
mean?
Right, but then I read that meant not specifically like laying hands on a strange person, but when you go to restore someone back to their position in church, like someone, let's say, who's fallen in church.
Oh.
And so you don't just go ahead and lay hands. You have to, some...
Well, you know, I'll give you
calm
this.
Down.
So much.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell it to you this way. Church is church, and I'm outside of the four walls of the church. So when I ask somebody, would you like me to pray for you, and can I put my hand on your shoulder, and they say yes, I'm truly not worried about their demons, because they ought to be worried that they don't have Holy Spirit. And so I'm just really not that afraid. I wouldn't go haphazardly to a witch and do that. But
listen to this. In one of our life groups, we were praying for this lady who had an issue with her throat. Okay? I laid hands on her throat and I began praying. I mean just Holy Spirit, I just really praying. All of a sudden, her throat was fine. I couldn't breathe anymore. I felt like I was being, something was completely and totally just gripping my neck and choking. So I'm gagging.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband, he starts going, you know, just laying hands and praying. My life group leader, she's waving banners and praying in the spirit, and then it lifted. So what was that?
That was an attack.
That was a counterattack.
But was that because I laid hands on
her? Sure.
It's a transferring spirit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. So then that goes back to...
But you're fine.
Oh, I was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
See, the enemy will always test you to see if you know what your authority is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Always going to do that. We have authority over them. We do not have to allow any of those critters to come on us. They don't have the right.
Right.
They do not have the right. Okay? So in a situation like that, if you're getting taught, oh, be careful who you lay your hands on, see, you have this thing in the back of your mind that, oh, I gotta, you know, I could be attacked someday like that. And that leaves an open door for the enemy to do that. But if you have, you know, a clear understanding that, no, the greater one is in me, you know. See, under the old covenant, if you touched an unclean person, you became unclean.
Clean, right.
Under the new covenant,
that's not the case.
You
right.
touch an unclean person or someone that's sick, and they get... Yeah.
Right.
See, that's the difference. Jesus actually touched the leper that came to him in Matthew 8 before he said, be cleansed.
I noticed that, but I didn't know why.
Yeah. He put his hand on him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. See? Because he didn't have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear from leprosy coming on him and you know, attacking him. And we can have that same confidence.
her throat was fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Well, you know, and it's, I'll tell you the truth. When, it, when the seer anointing is discernment of spirits, so we trained in Hebrews chapter 5:14 that we keep practicing this thing to discern good and evil. If something's choking her, it's a python spirit, and we discern it. And so I, you take authority over it. But at the mall, I don't usually find those sort of problems. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And so the lady was instantly healed. And so it's just like the woman at the well. She became an evangelist. Jesus didn't have to. She told the whole town. She told mm-hmm. everybody, look at this guy. Look at what he told me about my whole life. And that's what people generally do, you know. But, I mean, this is just one tool. But then there's dreams also that we use. And like I said, it's not really that easy for everybody to be trained real quickly to do dreams. We do that a lot at psychic fairs. And those people, they have witchcraft on them. They seers, mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that we, as saved people, have to back up because they have witchcraft. See, we've been taught in church not to go by anything that will get us dirty or messed up. But I can believe God for somebody to sense Holy Spirit and without me telling them. I could extend my spirit to people. And it sounds a little strange, but have you ever been healed in church without anybody laying your hands on them? Okay,
yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is able to be released out of it. That happened at a fire song a couple weeks ago, right? I really didn't believe it. I had a word of knowledge about somebody's hips, somebody's knees and headaches as well. But I didn't believe that anybody should go and lay hands on it. I felt the presence of the Lord, and this is what God's doing in this day. The presence of the Lord was so strong that they could be healed without me laying hands on them. The woman fell out, remember that? She fell out under the anointing. I was just not, I was nowhere near her, well, maybe a few feet away, but, right. And she said, she got on the microphone, she said, my knees are totally healed. So that's what God is doing, you know. It's kind of has to do with our belief. Sometimes I think about that Sons of Sceva thing. I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?
Right.
And so, you know, I think unfortunately we have to gain some ground in the spiritual realm before we really believe that God's doing great things somehow. I don't know, the authority. But I'll just give you an example. I don't want to cut anybody off, but I'll just give you an example of dreams. We went to Central Park, and these young people, and I just love young people. I mean, I just love young people. Because you know we were all young and dopey. I'm older and dopey, but the young people, they really need help. So all these kids, they were like from like a school in Virginia. They were just not city folks, you know, and they all had a dream. And each one of them, they just felt like God was bringing them to understand their destiny through these dreams. And they were we just felt the anointing to share. With them, so we kind of go all over and do this. But one time in the morning, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to do like treasure hunt in combination of dream things today." And my team's not with me. It's 5:00 in the morning. I'm praying this, and then I forget all about it. I go to work, and then I said, "Well, I think I'll go and get my hair done or something like that." And so in the morning at 5:00, the Lord gave me a word, and it was. Two words, silver and shoes, silver shoes. And it's like I said, I forgot about it. I went to the hairdressers. And then as I was waiting for this hair thing to get done, I looked at one of the hairdressers and she had silver shoes on. Oh, I guess she's the one for today. And I kind of knew her a little bit, but she did not real a lot. And I said, do you have a dream? She said, yeah, I've been having these dreams about my father. And I really, through this dream, led her so much closer to knowing Father, you know. Because in symbolic language, Father is Heavenly Father, you know. And so then I told her, at 5:00 in the morning, I asked God to bring me somebody that I could share with. And he said, silver shoes. This woman told everybody. I was so, she was like the woman at the, she told everybody, God loves me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, God loves me, and I was the one with the silver shoes. And she says, you know what? Wendy has silver shoes, too, but she didn't wear them today.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so you could really, really, you know, share a lot with this. Like I said, I just like going up to people and saying, can I give you an encouraging word, which is a nice word to say. It's really a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge, you know.
Because that's one of the challenges that we have, you know, as we go outside the four walls of the church. We've got to learn how to speak in non-Christianese, you know what I mean? Because people don't, you know, regular folk, they don't know what, you know, all these fancy words, sanctify, you know, and all this kind of stuff. They got no clue. So we got to learn to take our language and make it street level so that, you know, like if you say to somebody, I have a prophecy for you, you know what I mean? They may think, well, what are you, some kind of thing out of Nostradamus or, you know, that whole, you know what I'm saying? So just to say, like Anna was saying, just to say an encouraging word makes it a lot more understandable to people who maybe have never been to church, or if they have, or see the other side of it is if they've been to church and have had a bad experience with it, they're gonna say, "Nah, you're one of them Christians. I don't want you to," you know. So you gotta sneak up on them. What did we used to do? We would put up a table and have a banner. You still got my banner, don't you? He still has my banner. But I had a banner printed up that said, "Free dream interpretation, free spiritual readings." And it, you know, it just drew people in that were thirsty, hungry for, you know, for that spiritual realm. And we had some fun with that for a while.
Well, we're going to use it this summer.
You're going to use it this summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we usually do it, I like to do it as at New Age places or places where there's tarot card readers. There's a tarot card reader that we used to put our table out. And she would always come by our table. This is like talking about, you know, these people are really witches. They truly are. They have a generational witchcraft thing going on, mm-hmm. you know. And
But the shocking thing is that most of the time, folks like that have a true prophetic call to prophesy, but they've not had a chance to connect up with the Lord to develop that, so the enemy just takes advantage of it.
Well, and some people have been really, really rejected by the church, and they've told their pastor, listen, I've seen visions or I have dreams. Right. This one thing that I heard with John Paul Jackson is that this this man came and he told his pastor, you know, I have a dream, and the guy, the man said, well, you know, dreams are really not from God. So, you know, I'm sorry, this is, you know, otherwise, you know, he probably, wouldn't you felt, if that was you, they said, well, if it's not from God, then you're telling me it's from a demon? Okay, well, I might as well serve Satan, and that's what he went and did. Mm-hmm. And that's, he's probably one out of, you know, many that's happened to. Even like in our old church, we used to tell our pastor that we had dreams. The guy's like, you know, whatever. That's your problem or whatever, you know. And so... dreams are not really encouraged. We've had people, when we've done this at the mall, we've had our dream interpretation, it says dream interpretation, spiritual readings. It's more for a New Age sound, like spiritual mm-hmm, readings mm-hmm. And all. And this one lady, she came in here with like a 10-pound Bible, and she said dreams, she came in the mall with like a 10-pound Bible, and she goes, dreams are should not be, you should not be interpreting dreams. And my friend Gary, who wrote that book, I said, Gary, go talk to her, because I really don't have the patience for this. You know, it's just really silly to me. He has so much compassion, and he's a pastor. He's like really talking to her about it and stuff like that. But it's usually the only people who really have a difficult time with it is Christians.
Certain church folks, yeah.
Church folks, they just cannot take it, you know,
yeah.
That you're doing that. But let me just say one thing from this book before I go on, because this is really, I think, is important. The man, he's from Kevin Dedman. You can get this in Amazon or whatever. And he's from Bill Johnson's church. But he says, Treasure Hunt, Kevin
Dedman.
The ultimate treasure hunt. Kevin Dedman, Dedmon. I was going to order a bunch of these, but I just didn't have the money for it.
Dedmon.
And you can go on the Bethel Church, is it .com?
iBethel, right?
Yeah, they've got his books. Or you can just go to www.destinyimage.com. And so anyway, it says Heaven's strategy was to demonstrate the manifest presence of God through signs and wonders that the people witness, then to explain what had just happened, waiting for the right response before asking for a commitment. I believe many Christians are negative toward the good news because of our frequent lack of demonstration. It means that there's a lot of non-Christians, they're negative toward people talking about the good news because of our frequent lack of demonstration of the kingdom we're attempting to promote. And he goes on to share that, you know, if you had a used car and you didn't drive it beforehand and see that it rode, well, you know, you probably wouldn't buy it. Well, this is just it. Like, sometimes we've asked people for a commitment to Christ and all, but we really never demonstrated kingdom, you know? And so that he's just saying that, like Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Bill Johnson says, without power, the gospel is not good news. But really, it isn't. I mean, if you're still in the same state, you have cancer or headache or whatever your ailment is, knee problems, after it's people telling you that we've got good news for you. Well, it ain't good news if you're not healed. It's not a demonstration of the kingdom.
Right.
You know, you may be able to go to heaven, but we're bringing heaven to earth through the revelation of Jesus. And that part of the revelation is that if somebody reveals to me they have a knee problem, then I'm going to believe God that they'll be healed. And they have been.
Are there times, though, when people aren't healed?
Well, it's just like in church, sometimes people go to the healing rooms and they're not healed, but a lot of times they are healed. I mean, sometimes with cancers and illnesses like that, they would probably have to go home, and like the woman with the cancer. I felt a little funny having her call me, tell me if you know, after she got her, go back to the doctor and tell me if you were healed. But something like a physical ailment, like a bone problem, some people are just healed instantly. My friend brings his sign. He moved to California to Bethel Church, but he used to just bring this sign with him. I mean, it was in Westwood, and it was in New York City. He would take this sign and it'd say free healing, and you know, 9 out of 10 people were healed just like that.
It's actually much easier to see someone healed out on the streets than it is in church. It's like the Lord seems to reserve, you know, the greatest level of anointing and power display for out on the street. Why? Because he wants those folks to know his presence, his reality. You know what I'm saying?
I keep thinking Jesus' words to the paralytic guy and the folks around him, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.
Exactly. Exactly. Sure.
Yeah,
the demonstration.
What's that scripture about that I didn't come to you in word or speech or whatever, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost?
That's Paul.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 and 5 of the verses. And so, yeah, we don't come with persuasive words. You know, that one day that we were at the mall and I told you that woman, her arm got healed. We went upstairs and we found a woman, and I said, I saw that she was limping. I said, you're limping. She said, you know what? My foot has been hurting for like the longest time. These are the only boots I could wear. And it was very strange. I saw the Holy Spirit kind of come in, like from there. And she gave me her focus for like, I'd say like 15 good minutes. And we said, well, can we pray for you? And this woman, you ever watch somebody who's like goes off in 5 different directions? I'm a little bit like that too.
No.
Yeah. But like she, you know, she was way zoned out. Like, you know, she had her kids. She's looking for something in the store. So I honestly feel like the Lord just said, give me 15 minutes with her. I was like, okay. And so I said, well, let's lay hands on your foot. And she and we laid hands on her. I said, is there something that you didn't do, you couldn't do before, and now you can? She said, well, it feels a little bit more like I can move it. I said, well, that's good. Well, let's try again. Pray a little bit more. She says, well, it's the pain is going away. In other words, it's just like the Holy Spirit to do that. So then she said, she was walking and going, ah, the pain is gone. This is great. So what did you do? She goes, and then I led her to the Lord. And then I led her kids to the Lord. And all of a sudden, it was like, boom, she was back to doing like scattered. You ever see people, they're totally, this is what the like a worldly sense of people, they're just totally distracted. The things of God are not there, you know. So we were just thankful for the opportunity to share. So anyway, so now, you know, the question is, why do you suppose that teaching prophetic evangelism is relevant for and important for today? Why do you think it would be relevant?
Because folk is jacked up.
Yeah, that's good.
People are messed up.
Yeah.
People are messed up, and they're looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's absolutely right, you know. And, you know, I went to a workshop this past week, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Doug Addison. Anybody heard of Doug Addison? Google DougAddison.com. And he's a man. He graduated from Streams Ministries, probably one of the first people. He and Barbie Breathitt were one of the first people that John Paul Jackson discipled. And he was actually the first person that I ever met that did prophetic evangelism. When I saw him, I thought, he looks like Rod Stewart, and I thought, this guy's really crazy. This guy's really crazy. I mean, I'm nuts. This guy's off. He said this weekend, like, well, I, you know, learned how to share an easy way of telling people how to interpret dreams. But he's actually taking tattoos, looking at people's tattoos and prophesying in the street over them. And I said, well, I'm going to try that. So I tried it. My friend Juan, I don't know if you know Juan from Firesong, but Juan's got about 3 tattoos, and he's got one on his chest. And he didn't want to take his shirt off in church, so honestly, I don't blame him. We don't want to get crazy here. But, you know, we don't want this to kick us out of this
church.
Well,
let's go outside and take a shirt off.
No, I mean, we've been kicked out of enough churches, don't
you
think?
Exactly.
So, anyway, so Juan said there was a Bible verse on it. Oh, no, it was he and his wife. That was it says Liz and Juan, and it says the date of when they were married. And I felt like from right away, the year was 89. The Lord said Psalm 89. Now, there's not too many verses I know out of Psalm 89, but there was one about David's covenant and the oil, okay? And I just really felt like God said about that tattoo that there'll be a time of crushing, because that's how you make oil. If you read Psalm 89 in the last few, but it's about David and his covenant to God. And that's what I was saying, that no matter what comes against you in the covenant, you're still, David was in the line of Jesus, the generational line of Jesus, or the lineage of Jesus, that covenant will last. And to pray into these prophecies, I tell people all the time, prophecy has conditions, especially if it has to do with you know, a man and a wife or two people. It has to do with a condition. Pray into it. You have to pray into it and believe God. So this man, Doug Addison, said, I'm prophesying over people's tattoos. Kids are getting healed. They're getting delivered. And then I was really jacked up on this one. And he goes, I'm prophesying over people who have piercings. I said, what do you mean? This is true. It's a whole generation lost to piercing. You know what I mean? In that kind of a destructive thing. Mm-hmm. And so some of the people in the group, you know, they're Christians, they're younger people, they had piercings too. And one of them had a tongue piercing. And so we prophesy the darkness out of people and bring them into God's light. I mean, the tongue piercing could be, it almost is like kind of, oh, I don't know, it's just to me, it's like really not a good thing. But he's prophesying over these kids that they will speak the things of God. That's what the tongue is for, speaking. Mm-hmm. It's all symbolic language. You know, piercing in their ears, having 5. The number of five is grace, that God's grace will come to you. You know, you have to know some symbolic language and things like that. So we can really bring people to the Lord in such unique ways now. So to answer the question, why do you suppose that teaching prophetic evangelism is important now? Is because in the past we had a focus on a format. Evangelism explosion, I was involved with that for many years, but God has shifted. See, when God shifts, the church has to shift. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like when you play an instrument and the people change key, but you're on the wrong key. Hmm. It's just a discord. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with the church. It's so slow to shift that God is doing one thing and they're still doing something from the past. Mm. And so we can no longer focus on a format that is like a sales presentation.
Right.
We can't. You know why? Because if you can cognitively convince somebody of something, they can cognitively convince themselves otherwise. It has to be a heart issue. That's why with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, you cannot deny it. The woman who I shared with the silver shoe, she could not deny that. She knows me. I know that she knows I had a word of knowledge about her.
I mean, 40, 50 years ago, you know, you could actually sit down and have an intellectual debate with somebody and prove to them the reality of Christ and his, you know what I'm saying. People don't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know, people don't read anymore for, you know, greatly, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they don't read, but, you know, reading is not a priority for people. They're not going to sit there and unless your gospel tract has a lot of pictures, they're not going to read it, you know. So a lot of these techniques that we grew up, I mean, I got saved with a gospel tract. Four Spiritual Laws, Campus Crusade for Christ, Dr. Bill Bright, you know what I mean? That was the way that it was done back then. You know, it just doesn't have the same impact. We're surrounded with all this competing noise, you know, all the different philosophies and viewpoints and whatnot. And again, I think we've talked about this, you know, well, that's good for you. That's your truth. Here's my truth. You know, you can't argue that when God just healed you. You know what I mean? It's the real deal.
It's the real thing.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that. Well, on the sheet, it just says, if you're following along, because I got off way off, but it says, one, focus on format is in the older order of things versus focusing on the person's destiny. People really, really want to know their destiny.
Mm.
They really do. And that's why some of these things with the tattoos, that really shows your destiny. You know, like there's kids with crosses on and, you know, it's just all this. They want to know their destiny, you know. So giving information, number two, versus revelation of the heart of God. You have to remember that giving information, we have three realms I was talking about with the discernment of spirits, the soulish realm, the God realm, or the soul realm. The soul's made up of the mind, will, and the emotions. So if you're trying to, like Russ said, to intellectually try to lead somebody to the Lord, they can talk themselves out of it, or they can emotionally not want to have a understanding of God, you know. So we just can't keep giving out people's information. The four spiritual laws are awesome, you know. But and it was good for that day, but I don't really think people are taking seriously things that they're reading, you know, as much as like the Holy Spirit's intervention. But the thing is about number three is that the old way of sharing was that the saved person would talk so much that they really didn't care about the person's destiny. In fact, the mindset in the day that we used to share and evangelism that way was that we had to instantly lead people to the Lord because what if tomorrow they died? Well, Holy Spirit is bright enough that if you share something with somebody, they can make a decision within 5 seconds or that they, if they find that there's a demonstration of God, they'll go forward to say, what is that? You know, I met this woman one time. I was in the parking lot of the Old Kings in Roselle. It just closed now. And I said, I got to go into the store because this lady has a back problem and God wants me to share with her. I was also going shopping as well, but, you know, it was a divine appointment. So I passed her by and I passed her by with my little cart and I thought, oh, that's the lady right there. And then I saw her in the department where you buy, you know, doggy bones and stuff. I go, listen, you know, I know that there, you have an ailment. I know that you're sick. The lady goes, yeah, how'd you know that? She starts going really, because she says, how did you know that? So we kept going through this conversation. How did you know that? It was Holy Spirit. How'd you know that? It was Holy Spirit. It was like, we got to stop this cycle here. Okay, it's Holy Spirit, all right? All right. So she goes, yes, my back has been hurting. I came in here to get Advil.
Wow.
I go, well, you know what? You don't mind, but do you don't mind, I said to her. I want to lay my hands on you and see that you get healed. She said, honey, do whatever you want. You know, and so I go, yeah, okay. So I started to pray. I said, is there something else that you couldn't do before and now you can do it? She says, oh, it just feels a lot better and I feel like heat's on me. I said, oh, that's cool. Then I saw a spirit over her. This is wild. I'll tell you, I had some encounters in the Food King. It's just crazy. I think the Food King was named Food King because God was the king of the Food King.
That's it.
And I saw witchcraft over her. I said, you know, I don't mean to, you know, pry or anything, but have you ever done, like, tarot card readings? She said, honey, I did that for so many years, and then all of a sudden it kind of spooked me. I said, oh, really? What happened? You know, pretending to be kind of like, you know, a little naive on it, but I said, what happened? She said, all of a sudden this black thing would follow me. I said, oh, that's wild, you know? So I said, well, you know what? I hate to tell you this, but I think you got a little too close to, like, some evil stuff, you know? And she said, yeah, and I ran to this priest, and I said, I want to get rid of this now. I said, well, you know, sometimes it's not that easy. But so we did this repentance thing in the department, you know, with the, So, you know, anything could happen, but she kept saying it over and over again. I can't believe it. Who are you again? Who are you? I said, this is Holy Spirit. God came.
Just say, I'm a daughter of the Most High.
I'm the daughter of the King, not the Food King, but the King. Yeah. And so, but this is what Bill Johnson is talking about, and this is where I'm going to end. It's not about church, it's about the kingdom. He says it in one of his books, Bill Johnson. He says, we owe people an encounter. Mm-hmm. We owe people an encounter, we really do.
Yeah. Wow. The problem is that most of us, you know, most folks in the church have not had real encounters with the Lord. And so, you know, if you've not had an experience with God that has transformed you, then you don't really have good news for people. You're still just walking in a level of experience that is so subpar, you know, and you're basically, most folks are just basically engaged in a religious pursuit of trying to be sure that, am I doing everything that God requires? They don't have a relationship with him that says, my papa loves me. He's on my side. He's for me, not against me. You know? And we have a good time together. And you know, I get into his presence and it's like everything changes because, you know, he's there and he changes me and it's awesome. You know? So this guy, Kevin Dedman, I was listening to one of his messages last year and he said something that this is never going to leave me. He says that his prayer is, God, I want an encounter with you so that I can become an encounter for others.
Wow.
And that's been, you know, something that has just gripped me now for this past year or so. And so as often as I think of that, it's like, yeah, God, I want to be an encounter for other people, so give me it. I want more encounters with you. I want more.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. So yeah. What are we going to do now?
We can do treasure hunt and then come back next week and see who got saved.
Okay.
Anybody need healing? Anybody have headache or anything?
I'm more concerned about my husband's healing, though.
Okay.
With his asthma and allergies and that whole autoimmune, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned about that.
Plus, I've been having some neck pain as well.
Well, I think a trip to Target with new pillows might change that.
Well.
Who needs us?
Exactly.
Certainly, we'll, you know, pray over your stuff. Have you gone to the healing rooms at IHOP?
No,
you don't have to go. We'll just, you know, just pray for you and stuff.
recently I got a word over me, and the person who spoke the word had said that for God to heal my body. And I've been having, I have a, some kind of inflammation in my disc area down here. And I've been speaking the word and this believe in God after that. You know, I have in the past, but it would like come and go. And I just, you know, I still have some pain, but I would like to just, yeah, have more prayer or just continue. I was like, Lord, you gave him that word so that I could be healed. So I'm just trusting in him, you know, for just the, you know, manifestation of it.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, well,
Scott?
I've got a ringing in my right ear. I think a little bit in my left, mostly my right ear.
Hardcore rock and roll, dude.
Yeah.
I'll beat you every time.
Probably some of that.
Yeah.
And maybe from years ago, shooting my rifle in the Army, and I forgot to put ear protection.
Okay.
I remember at least one instance where it was like pretty bad. But it's like I didn't have the ringing back then, but now, you know, that was like, what, 20 or 30 years ago. But now there's a ringing in my ear, so.
Okay. Well, a couple things. Let's ask God for divine appointments this week for to find the lost. And yeah, I mean it can be any method, but we could just let's do this right now, and then we'll move on to healing and stuff like that. I was wondering if Phyllis was in Forerunner class. We can.
I have no idea.
I know she's in there, but
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, I don't want to drag her out of there.
Oh, well, if there's just the class ended or something.
Yeah.
But let's just like go pray in tongues and just shift a little bit and just see if God begins to give this to you, give you a name of a person or appearance, and then you have to believe that you're going to have a divine encounter. You know, and so we'll pray and we'll just believe God. You know, when we do this word of knowledge thing, I usually pray, you know, pray in tongues. I don't know if you want to get that on still, but
yeah, we can turn this off now. Yeah,
but.